Fierce Femme Media.
Oh, that's right. We had this discussion last time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It ruined go all eat. My fun. All of it. Ha! I never put anything in there, like...
Nothing really bad.
Yeah, no. Because if you guys said something really bad, I'd be like, damn, I have to stop and redo it.
You could have. You've got some ammunition, I believe.
Just a little embarrassing, that's all.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I stand by most things I say.
Me too. As I lick the bottle, the wine bottle.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the weekly wind down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I am Stacy, the political princess.
I am Jean, the feisty feminist.
Yay, Jean's here. She's filling in for both Aaron and Stacy. So
double duty.
Those are drunken shoes to fill.
Well, I'm on it.
Are you drinking Tito's in honor of Aaron?
I have faith in you. No, look at that. She's drinking wine like a classy lady.
Like she's supposed to.
I'm drinking. I know I might be jumping ahead, but I'm drinking a rosé in honor of my future roomie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rosé o'clock.
Always.
Yeah. In my world, it's rosé o'clock 24/7.
Not really. You need to catch her between like the hours of 6:45 to like 7:15 if you're going to get her to start drinking.
Yeah. 34. What
an animal. I am drinking an India Pale. I'm drinking an IPA tonight. It's called Coastal Access. Pizza Port Brewing out of San Diego. They put out new beers like every month or so. And out of all like 15 I've tried, I've only met one. And I wouldn't even say I didn't like it. It just wasn't as good as the others. So
that's a pretty like, those are pretty good odds.
Yeah. Yeah. So Trader Joe's carries them. And whenever I'm at Trader Joe's, I always like peruse that little area to see what they released. Because they sell them in the big cans too, the 16 ounces, and they're only $10.99 for six of the 16, which isn't bad at all. So
that's a good deal.
If you guys go to Trader Joe's, which I don't know why you wouldn't.
Trader Joe's is the best.
Unless it's not near you, I guess would be a good excuse. Pizza Port Brewing, really good beer if you like IPAs. So That's what I'm doing.
All right. I'm having a wild berry truly because I really wanted rosé. I didn't have any chilled.
Aww.
So I'm having a truly because I just can't. I can't do the ice cubes.
The ice cubes.
The ice cubes.
The cube of the ice.
Yep.
I'm drinking, excuse me, just let me down my last bite of frozen Aldi pizza.
Oh.
I had to do it so I didn't get too drunk tonight.
I have a funny story to tell you while you finish chewing on that. We went to a party last weekend and like everyone got drunk and there was very nice like catered food, but we didn't know there was like more food coming for while we were drunk. Somebody just like had DiGiorno pizzas. And they weren't part of the party. They just like, this lady showed up and had them in her hand. She was so drunk. She put them in the oven in the cardboard. And I guess somebody was like, does someone smell burning? And like, yeah, the one sober like babysitter there had to like pull them out of the oven and save the house from burning.
I'm glad I was already gone for that.
Yeah. You were gone already at that point. But it was really funny once you're drunk to be able to do the like, is that delivery? And then someone else is like, no, it's DiGiorno. So they want to sponsor us.
Well, that's great to do in California where everything is combusting all around you. By all means, let's light a pizza box on fire too.
Yeah.
When in Rome. I'm drinking, this is one of my wine deliveries now. I've taken it to a whole new ghetto level. I now get my wine deliveries sent to the Walgreens down the street so I won't miss the FedEx driver. So I have to go into Walgreens.
Does someone have to sign for them?
Yeah.
Hey, you have to be 21. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the kids, you know, the kids that work behind the counter at Walgreens give me this sarcastic snarky look, like, yeah, Karen, I got your box of wines. It's about 50 pounds. Let me go get it for you because you can't get it delivered to your house. So
that makes me love you even more than I thought possible.
You know what? When somebody says, Jean, you really should try to lower the bar in your life, I say, hold my wine. So I
consider it done.
Consider it done. Challenge accepted. I'm drinking a 2019 Villa Amalia Rosé, and it's a product de France. So, and what I have to remember when I'm feverishly selecting my wines from the website, I have to remember that French wines are always on the dry side. And I like things a little more on the sweet side. However, it is...
You East Coasters, man.
I know, right? But you know what's so funny? Juice. My favorite wines come from California. Go figure.
But and your favorite winos.
Favorite winos also come from California. But this is, I do like it. It's very light. It's very crisp. And it's a very pretty bottle. It has a dragonfly on it. And I love dragonflies, and it's just a pretty bottle. Can you guys see it?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
My Kenneth Branagh background, Zoom background is clouding it out. But yeah, it's okay. I just have to remember French is dry, California is sweet.
Well, no, most of our wine is dry, I guess, unless mm-hmm. you get some of the more, yeah. It'll be interesting when we take you to Lodi to see which ones you like, because I have found East Coasters prefer the sweet wine and mm-hmm. West Coasters prefer more of the dry wine. And I don't know why that is yet. I've never been able to ascertain.
I just always like things a little sweeter. I like my coffee sweet, and I like my wine sweet, and I like my women sweet.
Look at that. Okay. I apparently like mine. I don't want to say dry. That doesn't sound right, does it?
not unless you're talking about her sense of humor.
All right, that is dating a woman in menopause. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that took a hard left real quick. All right.
Sorry, Dempsey. This is all wrong.
No, I just don't want. Hey, look, I think everyone should be. Hey, get wet if you want. I'm just saying, I don't think it's a good idea to refer to your wife as dry.
I didn't mean to. Like, that's not what I was.
In any sense of the word.
That's not what I. That's.
I'm just saying.
You trying to get me in trouble? That's not what I was implying. I said I couldn't say that because then that wouldn't make sense. Anyway.
Exactly. Like, anyway. We get it. She's wet. It's cool.
Oh, my God. Oh, for fuck's sake, how do I take this out?
Jackie, for once it's you.
In the Dwyer house, there is no dry season.
There we go.
Oh, there we go. Thanks, Jean. All right. So since it's the three people who actually like to talk about politics this week, guess what we're talking about this week?
Politics.
All right, let's start with, Jean, what did you call them?
I called them, you guys remember the Muppet Show? Pigs in space. No. You guys might not remember.
I do.
Right, so anybody over 40.
Douchebag millionaires in space.
Yes. It's douchebag millionaires in space. Starring Kenneth Branagh and everybody's favorite tiny dick. Elon. No, wait. Bezos. Yeah, that's right.
Same thing.
I know it really is. There a difference?
I mean, at a certain point, no. It doesn't matter. Yeah, they're interchangeable, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. So these assholes have spent the same amount of money that it would take to, I don't know, solve world hunger or start the process of fixing climate change on whose dick's bigger contest, and are going up to space. For whatever fucking reason, because they can, I guess, they've amassed trillions or billions of dollars on the backs of everyday Americans and well, the rest of the world actually too. And they've decided the best use of that money isn't to wipe out student loan debt, not to fix hunger, not to fix climate change. No, they're going to go to fucking space like a bunch of little 12-year-old boys.
We're going to race race into orbit. Who could get there quicker? You know what? Fucking when you get there, stay there.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
It's not only obnoxious, and obnoxious isn't even the right word for it. I think it's disgusting how and no one's, these guys don't even pay the correct amount of taxes. Like,
no. And they're, like, who asked them to do this?
No one. It's just a who's dick's no bigger. One.
What is the silliest? There, somebody must have been drinking one night and said, what is the silliest thing we can squander some of our money on?
So, like Richard Branson's doing the same thing. It's like you hit a point where you're obscenely rich. And then, like, the next logical step is space travel.
I just realized that I called Richard Branson Kenneth Branagh.
You did? I was waiting to see how long it was going to take you to realize that. It just, which is just so funny because I don't like Kenneth Branagh.
I don't either because he was married to Emma Thompson. Emma Thompson. So I hate him for that.
Yeah, me too.
I got it bad for Emma Thompson.
I think she married up afterwards.
Fuck them both.
Yeah, and Kenneth Branagh.
All of them.
Yeah. All of them. Richard Branson, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. I would have been more comfortable had they decided to explore depths of the ocean that had never been explored before, you know, or invest, even if they didn't want to spend it on world hunger or disease eradication or climate change on our own planet that's exploding, if they had dumped $1 billion into like research at the ice caps to see, you know, like anything on our planet, they could have done anything that they wanted. And these assholes decided they were going to take a trip to space because, I don't know, mommy and daddy didn't pay for NASA camp down in Florida when they were kids. I don't fucking know. They had like weird dreams of being in Star
Wars.
That's
the funny thing, because like, it's not like they're trying to like be the first, like we've already gone to space for the first time. So it's not like you're trying to like, no, you're just trying to say you did the thing that you're the only five people rich enough to ever do.
Right. And if they think they're like, if they're trying to escape, like, okay, so the world's imploding, like the world's literally on fire and they think they're going to be able to go like live in outer space somewhere. It is.
They don't want to pay any taxes. And right now, if you live in space, I'm pretty sure you don't have to pay taxes.
You know what? It's not about fleeing the dangers of the earth. It's because you know what, they fully believe they're immune to them, that they're that the massive wealth that they've hoarded protects them from all that.
Well, and it's so funny because how long do you have to train for to become an astronaut? Like, what a slap in the face to people who do this like for a living, that you're just gonna like buy your way onto a spaceship.
They're just
spaceship. Is that what they're called?
They're disgusting. They're disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And you know what? It's like, it's always a catch-22 because, you know, we live in a free society and you can't force a billionaire into spending money the way that you think that they should. You know, governments can't do it. We don't want to live in that world. We don't want to live in that type of country. But you would think that like, don't these dicks have consciences? Don't they?
No.
Don't they have their finger on the pulse of what is going on in the world around them in the least, that take some of your goddamn billions and do something useful with it? All right, you guys want to rocket yourselves into space? Can't you do something in space that is actually helpful? I don't know, but there's got to be something that they could do other than race each other. Like two fucking 7-year-olds, who's going to get to the cafeteria first? I mean, that's where it starts. And then it doesn't end until they're leaving the planet. What? So they could look out the window? Did you guys see?
They want to see if their dicks are bigger in space.
Yeah. And maybe their balls are heavier with when they're, well, no, actually with weightlessness, they'd be even lighter.
They couldn't even sustain when we did those trials down in Arizona trying to simulate life on Mars, and they had people living there to see if they could actually survive the process of it. People couldn't even sustain that. Like, I don't know. I don't understand why the technology is not there yet for us to venture off into space and live there permanently. So the only answer is because it is a dick measuring contest. And they could be Batman. They could do whatever. That type of wealth is world changing. So they could do anything they wanted. Any cause they picked, they could fix it. They could instantaneously fix it. They could fix homelessness in America. They could fix child poverty if they wanted. Like just the amount of good deeds that they could do is limitless. And
it's like literally not even on the list of things they're interested in doing.
No. It wasn't even like they did five of them and they're like, you know what? I've always wanted to go to space. So now that I've cured world hunger and cured malaria in third world countries, I'm going to take a trip. I'd be like, okay. I mean, I get it. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Send pictures back.
Yeah.
You know, but like you've got men, two men who can establish food banks, food shelters, soup kitchens in every city in this country, and still have an ocean full of money left to squander on their own. You know, let me live my second childhood because I was a fucking geek and got wedgies all the time. And now because I've somehow been able to amass a disgusting amount of money, like Jackie said, on the backs of workers, Let me just fuck around and go and space. Did you guys see a Branson this week when he was in space? What was he in space for? 15 fucking minutes?
And like barely. He like
this is I dreamed of this since I was a kid.
Putting your foot on the border and saying you went to Mexico. Like, like you're barely.
You know what? The thing that pisses me off the most about Bezos is he did this in the midst of Amazon workers not unionizing, them having insane working conditions. Like I don't know if you guys watch them at all on TikTok or whatever, talking about like the workload that even the deliveries driver carry and then the warehouse workers. He's still paying them $15 an hour, which I know is better than some places get, but Jesus Christ, you could pay them 20 and really make a difference in people's lives. That you could make a huge difference in them. Like there was so many things. I just feel like the wrong people get rich, and maybe that's because they're smarter than the rest of us. I don't know. I think to get to that point in conquering the world, you have to have an absence of empathy.
Yes.
You have to be somewhat of a narcissist. You have to have an absence of empathy. And I think that sometimes goes hand in hand with their level of intellect. And I'm not saying all smart people are cruel or, you know, what's his name? Albert Einstein warned against using the atomic bomb, but he still built it. Like there has to be some level of dissociation with like the rest of the world to do that and then publicize it like it was a cool thing to do. Like that's the even harder part to wrap your head around. Not only did they waste billions of dollars, they shoved it in everyone's face, shoved it in people's faces. Mm. People who've lost their jobs, who can't pay their mortgages, who can't pay their rent, who can't do all of these things because of the pandemic. They could have cured COVID. They could have gotten vaccines it's just
worldwide.
It's so gross.
Just in this country.
It's so fucking gross.
It is. And I see their fucking shit eating grins when they're floating weightless in their spaceships. And I just want to say, okay, you know what? Fine. You want to prove your dick is bigger than everybody else's. Can't you do that with a good thing? Can't you? Oh, look how long my schlong is. I just solved climate change. Look out!
Yeah, you think
balls are. There's nobody hungry in the U.S. anymore.
Well, you really want to?
I'd be all.
You want to impress women with how big your heart is? Like you'd have women falling all over you if you cured some of the issues going on in America or in the world right now. Not even just America, in the entire world. It makes me so mad. It makes me so mad, so mad.
Big oof.
I know. We gotta move off of this. We gotta move off of this topic because you know I have very, very limited amount of empathy for the rich to begin with. And you know what? Like you said, you got all the money in the world, make all your dreams come true, but don't fucking shove it in our faces and shove it in the faces of all the people who are still struggling to live a comfortable life working for the company that you fucking run.
Yep. Bottom line, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Boom. It's that easy.
So our other topic that we were going to talk about tonight, the Democrats and the legislature of Texas walking out and refusing to vote because they need a quorum essentially to even hold a vote. And some of the bills that the Texas Republicans were trying to shove through involve voter suppression and anti-abortion bills. There was a whole swath of them that would not only make it more difficult to vote in Texas, but almost impossible for certain subsections of the electorate. And that, I mean, we're talking about like doing away with mail-in voting, closing polling locations. It's like they're intentionally trying to make people stand outside and vote, which when it's not a holiday, that means you have to give up your work day or, you know, the average person isn't going to take a day off work to stand. I don't want to stand in line for a day for fucking anything. Much
less. Oh, I won't even stand in line at Disneyland anymore. Where's the voting fast pass?
There are very few things you could dangle in front of me that'd be like 10 hours in line. Do you want this bad enough? It would have to involve Taylor Swift tickets or like my wife or son's health. Like those are the only two, or I guess like one of you guys, maybe I'd stand in line for your health, but you know, it would have to be something. It would have to be something so extreme. Mm-hmm.
I literally did 8 hours in line for the Go-Go's. And I got to tell you, I don't feel like they were appreciative for it.
How rude of them to not appreciate your sacrifice.
But I don't think I'd do 8 hours to vote.
So if you're not familiar.
You know what? I'd wait 8 hours in line to slap Ted Cruz in the face.
Oh, or Mitch McConnell. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, slap him right in the blah, 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 blah. I don't know what that thing's called, but it's neck vagina.
Slap him in
the, neck vaginas to me sound like blah, 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 blah.
Don't associate him with vagina anything.
Mitch McConnell.
So the Democrats all had to leave the state because now the governor is calling for their arrest and to be brought back so that the vote can move forward. And as one would suspect, there's a lot of mixed emotions depending on who you ask whether or not they did the right thing. So I wanted to see what you guys thought about it. I think I know what you guys thought about it.
Dempsey, would you like to begin?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm just ready to walk away probably at this point. I think I'm going to become a Republican. No, I'm just kidding. I just think it's so like it's so transparent what's happening that it's like crazy that people can't see it. You know what I mean? Like, how much more do you need to do to go out of your way to keep the other side from voting and like not even try and hide it one bit? Like, It's super clear that you're trying to like working class people who it's not even about wanting to stand in line to wait to vote. It's about, can you afford to not get paid or to miss a shift or like,
or not pick up your kids kind of or.
Right. And so it's like, Dude, can you just I'm so mad about it. I like can't even articulate it. It's such bullshit. It's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it should be.
It should be, but it's not. That's what they're trying to.
They're trying to make voting illegal.
I know, and that's the thing. And it's like, God, I just Greg Abbott can just suck a bag of dicks. First of all,
he could suck a fat juicy one.
Well, there's a few up in space that are available. Yeah.
But those are big and fat.
He would need a big bag of them.
You know what? I give out great advice.
Oh.
I'm going to say.
Okay.
I never take it myself.
Same.
But I give out great advice. And here's what I would like to say to the Texas GOP. Your first mistake is that you still believe the election was stolen from Trump. That's your first mistake.
Of course they do. He's coming back. He's the real president, Gene.
These idiots down in the Texas legislature and basically in most GOP legislatures all around the country have bought into the idiocy and the insanity of the Boberts and the fucking that other blonde lunatic. And then
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, Marjorie Taylor Greene, just as fake and not nearly as delicious. also, you know, Matt Gaetz, you know, you've got all mm-hmm. these horrible, horrible human beings in the GOP now that are
Ron DeSantis.
Exactly. They're all just horrible people, and they're all rising stars in the GOP party. And nobody is alarmed at all by that. And so, you know, it's what's happening in Texas is just an offshoot of what's going to be happening everywhere once 2024 rolls around. And if Texas gets away with this, every red state, every southern state that is all in on the big lie is going to they are trying to do the same thing,
yep.
is to suppress voting rights. Like you guys said, people can't afford to take days off from work to vote, and they shouldn't have to. That's not how this system was set up. This is not a system set up where only the wealthy get to vote, like it was, you know, back at the turn of the 17th century or 18th century. This is not landowners get to vote only. Everybody gets to vote, and that means you're going to have to make it accommodating to those with children who have to work, who can't take days off, blah, blah, blah. We already know that. So to me, these Democrats in the state legislature who took off, who basically ran away from home, I say kudos to them. I'm proud. That's like getting back to basic democracy 101. When you see that democracy is being pulled out from under your constituents, you do whatever you have to do to put a stop to it, whether it's a temporary stop or a permanent one. They took action, and I say kudos to them. I'm glad. I'm gonna make sure I know their names. So hopefully those are the people that will, you know, rise up in Texas politics for once.
I'm tired.
So many people haven't.
I'm tired of 35% of the population getting to control the rest of us. Like I'm just fucking tired of it, just because of the way I'm sorry. No one wants to live in Kansas or Wyoming. Okay. I'm sorry about, well, not really, but there's no reason that a vote in Wyoming should count four times more than a vote in California. That's ridiculous. And it pisses me off. Like this 35% of the population that is gerrymandered, that has instilled voting restrictions, that has maintained their power because there's more land there than there are people, is the most antiquated. And you know what? People say this isn't what the founding fathers intended. I don't know if that's true. I actually think that the founding fathers did intend for white landowners to have more of a say than anybody else. I think they would be thrilled to find out that someone who owns a farm in Kansas has more of a say than a black single mother in Los Angeles, California. I think they would actually think that's fantastic. So I'm tired of the whole, oh, this isn't what the founding fathers intended. I'm sure it is, but this isn't their country anymore. The country has changed.
Intend was a ratification process and a way to move forward when the times change. So I agree with you on that, but I do think that's why they put things in place to make the Constitution a breathing document, a living document, so changes can be made. And so we should be able to adjust with the times as needed.
The country doesn't look the way it did when the founding fathers were here. Like,
no, and they had the forethought to know that.
Right. If you had told George Washington, what about the 40 million people in California? He would have been like, what the fuck is California?
Ooh, where?
Like, what are you talking about? And where did we get 40 million people? There's only a few hundred thousand of us. Like, what do you mean? Yeah. Right. Like, so to base it on those standards, and I agree. And I'm not saying that I think the founding fathers had a lot of really good ideas. I get tired of treating them like they were gods because they were fallible human beings that there's no way they could have seen what it would have looked like 270 years in the future, nor could they have predicted what the world would look like and the problems that we're dealing with. If you would have told them that we have created a weapon that could wipe out an entire city, or even, you know, in the case of Japan, half of an entire country, they would have been blown away by that. Like, so we have to stop holding it to the standard of what the founding fathers would have thought. But it's the same fucking mindset of how they relate the Bible to right. what goes on
right.
now.
Right.
Like this whole, like, right. well, the Bible says, what are you fucking talking about?
Right. But that's the problem is that's not a living document. So that shit doesn't get changed. And
they didn't even know dinosaurs existed until after George Washington was dead. So like yep. saying anything on the life has changed. The world has changed. We know more. We have more access to goods and services and people and thoughts and processes and hypothesis and the scientific method. Like all of that has mm-hmm. fucking changed. So you have to right. stop saying the founding fathers and well in the Bible, I don't care what the Bible yes. says.
I don't
you want to read yep. the Bible, read the fucking Bible. You want to live your life by it. Go ahead, but you know what you can't make me do? You can't make me live by the Bible because that's not
no,
a thing.
You can't base laws to. On it.
Right.
No.
So it's the same people, the Venn diagram that is the people who want to live mm-hmm. by the Bible and the people who swear the founding fathers, shmish, 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 is a circle. And
right.
the idea that things have changed and people have evolved and needs have changed is, it's just fact. Like, look at, so right now, our generation, the millennials, we are making the same amount that people did in 1996, even though at this age, even though cost of living has gone up 240%.
Yeah.
Like that's ridiculous. Teachers, yeah. Jean, we're making the same as you were with your experience and your life 30 years ago, but everything is more expensive. Everything.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. there's just, it, so to equate that you can say, well, things have changed here and things have changed there, but we're going to keep everything else stagnant. Like we did mm-hmm. not have, we have in this country right now, millions of millionaires and hundreds of thousands of billionaires. That didn't exist 40 years ago because the right. wealth discrepancy wasn't so great. And these people in the GOP, they have convinced their lemmings that if they just keep voting for them, one day they will be as rich as them.
Yeah, it'll pay
and
off.
It's
yeah.
just not gonna happen, you guys. It's not gonna fucking happen because until you start enacting policies that actually tax the rich the way they're supposed to be taxed, you keep talking about wanting to make America great again the way it was back in the 50s. Look at the fucking taxation rate in the 1950s versus what it is now, and you're gonna see why a father or whatever. No, it was a father in the 1950s could go right. to work selling fucking VCRs and feed his family of four with the mom staying home and still take a vacation and own two cars. Like,
right.
It's
and
it's,
just put in your 40 hours a week working right. 9 to 5. Yeah.
Right. And just get promoted.
You didn't even need a college diploma.
Right.
You could go to work with a trade, work in a mm-hmm. factory, and still, you know, you didn't have to
nice
have
car, nice living, yeah. nice.
You
living,
can have
yeah.
the same thing. And if you look at, I just recently shared one of my memories on Facebook and it showed the ratio, like in the 1950s between what CEOs and company owners versus their employees earned and how that disparity just mm-hmm. grew exponentially to the point where you can't even fit the disparity on the same piece of paper anymore
mm-hmm.
because company owners and CEOs are making so much more money than the people who are actually doing the work, creating the product, giving the service to the customers.
Well,
it's insane. And I don't understand how anyone who is not a fucking millionaire and has a half a brain can keep holding on to this fucking dream that if I vote Republican long enough, I'm going to be successful too.
Yeah.
Well, and they buy into the idea that, and here's what really, they have no cognitive dissonance at all. Like there's no cognitive reasoning when you're talking to these people because they long for this world that they were never a part of, that their grandparents were a part of. And they talk about how there was less violent crime and less this and less that. Statistically, sure. Part of that is because we didn't necessarily keep statistics on everyone the way we do now. And the other part is people weren't as desperate as they are now. People, right. people had a better, and I'm not talking, black and brown people have always been disproportionately treated. I'm not talking about that right now. I mean, the overall wealth gap was much smaller when you looked at it back then, because people now have much less to lose. And the Black and brown people have spent now generations disproportionately, not saying there's no poor white people because there obviously is, but disproportionately Black and brown people have been affected by this. And now it's been going on for generations. What do you expect when there's no way? It's the same reason that the French Revolution happened, when there's no light at the end of the tunnel and there's no way to get out and you're drowning in debt.
What are your other choices?
Get a job. What are your other choices? There are none. Yeah. And we're not offering a path out. And people talk about, well, a bachelor's degree used to mean something. It did. You know when it stopped meaning something? You know when it meant less? When more Black and brown people started getting their bachelor's degrees. And then all of a sudden they wanted master's degrees for entry-level positions. We can trace all of this back to white supremacy and racism. All of it. It is one of the reasons. And I want to add this too. Democrats are fucking terrible at branding things. Critical race theory is not a good way to brand something.
I know.
They need to get some marketing people on their team, or at the very least, like Taylor Swift's management squad, because they need to rebrand all of these things. Calling it critical race theory. No, just call it. We want to teach the fucking truth. And then let the Republicans come out and say, we don't want you to teach the truth. Let them say that instead of saying, oh, we don't want to teach critical race theory. No, we don't want to teach the truth, because that's what it is. Because no one bothers to actually read what critical race theory is. They're all just reading, oh, we're going to teach you that white people are bad. Yeah, you know what? Some fucking white people were bad. A lot of them, actually. A whole bunch of them were bad. All of them.
So many.
Throw a rock. You'll hit a bad white person. just talk about, we want to teach the truth in history. That's it. Like, I don't know why Democrats can't get a hold. It's the same thing with defund the police. It was bad marketing. And that is why it didn't catch on better, because the average person, if you talk to them about the changes you'd like to see in police departments, they will agree with you. They don't like the term defund the police. And I know that's not what we should be harping on, but there's a lot of people who aren't dialed in or plugged into politics the way the rest of us are. So all they hear is taglines and slogans, because that is the way our world operates. And if it doesn't feel good, they don't like it. And saying defund them, because everyone knows a cop. Everyone has a cop in their family. So to think like, oh, I'm going to put your Uncle Joe in danger. No one wants to. My Uncle Joe's a good guy. You know, he's not one of the bad ones.
Right.
No, your uncle's not bad. The system is bad. The system is fucking broken. But we don't do a good job at branding.
Yeah. Sure don't.
My soapbox. Yeah. If you guys want to add anything.
No, you covered most of it.
After that, Jackie, what could I possibly add other than
Well, you can see it even like the thing you posted today, Jean, where you say, don't ever call Sally Hemings Thomas Jefferson's mistress. She wasn't his mistress. He raped her over and over and over again until she produced offspring. Like we were taught growing up, oh, he had a mistress that was Black. So now there's a whole, you know, lineage of Thomas Jefferson that's mixed race. No,
right.
He raped her.
Oh, he raped her.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
He raped a person that legally belonged to him like a dog.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't get to call her the mistress.
Yeah. And I saw that and today, and like, and, you know, speaking of things that would blow the minds of our founding fathers. Hey, guess what? You can't own human beings and you can't rape the women and girls that you own. That's not cool, founding fathers.
Or women own land now.
Without
their husbands dying beforehand.
Absurd.
And people get married, and you know, there's so much
gay people. So what are gay people?
What's a gay person?
They knew what gay people were.
Gay's that thing you do when you drink too much.
There's so much crossover though with people who think that founding fathers are infallible and people who believe in the Bible. Like that, there's just so much crossover, and it's because they believe in a myth, because it's comfortable and it feels good. And it's
not even that it's comfortable. It's certainly more comfortable than saying Sally Hemings, who he raped over and over,
starting at age 12.
Right. Because the transgression at that point is just right. Like,
right.
He had an affair with a slave. Like, no, that wasn't good. Don't do that again.
Right.
Like, it's a little bit of a mea culpa. Like, yeah, he did a bad thing. But like, no, they weren't in love.
No, he kept her chained in a basement.
Right. So by being able to acknowledge a tiny little portion of it, I think it makes them feel like they're acknowledging history and how it really happened. But it's like, again, through your acknowledgement of, yeah, he had like these interracial, you know, biracial children, mm-hmm. but you're ignoring how it happened. Well, and yeah, that's the part that makes him kind of a fucking monster.
They romanticize history in this country, mm-hmm. has been romanticized.
Right. And it's like, we have to romanticize.
Yeah.
There's one little fraction of what happened that's bad, but we're going to somehow romanticize that and make it okay. And now look, we've acknowledged the bad stuff.
Yeah, but nobody likes the bad stuff.
Yeah.
The bad stuff doesn't translate very well in a fifth grade social studies class.
Right.
We're not going to talk about white supremacy and rapists and how, you know, how the white colonists from, you know, came and ran off all the Indians, shot them, mm-hmm. killed them, gave them smallpox. No, let's talk about how great the first Thanksgiving was when the Indians brought maize and they showed
them. Yeah, sat down and eat turkey.
Yeah. I mean, that is such fucking bullshit.
It's such propaganda bullshit. When you look back on it now. Like, yep. We came here and we all sat down together and they taught us how to, taught us about maize and wheat and this. And we all sat down and had dinner together. Like, the fuck you did? No.
The fuck no, you did?
Like, raped and pillaged and like,
And I wrapped myself in a wool blanket and got the smallpox.
Back when Mitch McConnell's first Thanksgiving.
You got the clap from raping people.
The thing that's frustrating is they could teach it in a factual, accurate way and right. still be like, listen, this is so unacceptable now because we've evolved as human mm-hmm. beings and we're better than this. And we understand that everybody has equal rights. That wasn't the mindset then. Like,
no, it's really not hard to say this right. is what happened, but it shouldn't have. And this is
right. Why. And we're mm-hmm. better than this now. And we're trying to move past it, but we can't move past it until we acknowledge it. And right. even though what they did was wrong, it was normal for the time. And that's why we're better people. Like, there's a way to do it without still doing their biggest fear, which is what the white guilt, making white kids yeah. feel guilty, mm-hmm. calling right. them feeling like they're oppressors starting at age 9 or whatever. But you don't have mm-hmm. to do that, because if you teach kids that this is what humans are capable of,
right.
they don't grow into oppressors then, because they understand right. the dangers involved with it. Germany right. doesn't exclude the Holocaust from their history teachings. They learn about right. it starting from a very young age, about the atrocities committed against Jewish people, Black people, LGBT people, like right. throw a dart, hit a fucking anybody but white people. Right. They teach right. it starting from a young age, but nobody, the Germans growing up don't think, I hate myself. They think we could never let that happen again.
That is the essence of history. That right. is the essence of teaching kids all through school history. You know, mm-hmm. I'm an English teacher, and whenever I start a new unit on a book from a different time period, I always give a little bit of contextual background. Yeah. And so I'll talk about, you know, I'll tell them the truth about what happened with the Indians. We'll talk about the Indian Removal Act of 1830. You know, we'll talk about all the ugly stuff, but I begin by saying we are so much better now than we used to be, and here's why. Mm-hmm. So there's no guilt laid on them. I empower them to believe that they can make the change. I use myself as a lesbian. I say, you guys are the ones that have changed things for me. It's your generation. So you can, whatever grade you're teaching, you can start out in a positive, empowering way to teach kids, white kids, any color kids, we are so much better now today because of you, and here's why. And then you go back from that point. So nobody's going to tell me, we can't teach white kids this because it's going to make a big, no, you just don't know how or don't care to want to know how to teach it in a way that's not going to mess them up.
Well, we've been doing it, right? Like in the Old Testament, it says that you can stone a woman to death for cheating on her husband. We don't do that anymore. And we excuse it by saying, oh, well, that was the Old Testament. Like, that, I mean, come on, that was a long time. We don't behave like that anymore. Like,
yeah, the New Testament is so much better. Yeah,
the New Testament, that's what we go by. You don't cut off your kids' hands for back talking to their dads anymore. Like, oh, we just
don't stone anybody for mixing materials, right. Mixing cloth.
So we already do it when we're comfortable with it. And it the other funny thing to me is everyone talks about the Bible as if everyone in the Middle East was white. Because they all perceive Jesus as white. And it's just like, you guys follow a religion that's all about brown people, yet you hate that Jesus wasn't white. It's just not possible. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
Even if you believe Jesus walked the earth, whatever, there's no fucking way dude was white. It's just not a thing that would have happened. Like, unless you think Thor himself sent down, like, it's just, oh my God, I can't. The other thing that really I've seen an influx of since I've gotten on the Tiki Talki is sometimes I'm kind of far removed. Because of my social media algorithms, I don't see a lot of the white supremacy, super religious GOP propaganda that they pass around and like hype each other up with. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't see it unless someone stitches it. And then I'm like, what is this train wreck going on here?
You follow Good Trouble?
Oh my God. I love him so much. I love Good Trouble 2.0 because they keep deleting his account. But I just love him so much. But the other thing that, and I think it was actually on his, that's just kind of bananas is Christians now, first of all, no one ever talks about, you know, Christians have slaughtered millions of people over the course of history, millions, just in order to get them in line with their religious affiliation. But current day Christians are so desperate to be the oppressed, desperate that they're grasping at straws. Like this whole thing going around about, oh, Biden's trying to cancel Christianity. What?
Biden is a Christian. Biden is an avowed Christian.
He's Catholic. Like what the fuck are you what are you guys talking about now? Like you're so desperate to be oppressed. You want so badly to be considered one of these minority groups. Christians will never be a minority in this country. It's just not going to happen. And making up these insane lies about, oh, Biden doesn't want any Christians. He's trying to cancel all of them. Like pretty soon you won't even be able to take communion. You won't be able to go to church. What the fuck are you? I have listened to every one of Biden's speeches since he got in office. Kamala Harris doesn't talk. I've never even heard a Democrat in general talk about this. So what, and I can't stress this enough, the fuck are you all talking about?
You know what? Like you said, at this point, they realize, all right, we're not getting anywhere. We don't have the traction we used to being the dominant race. We don't have the traction. We don't have the power that we used to being white. That doesn't have the street cred anymore that it used to. So let's just join in on the oppressed bandwagon. Because if you're oppressed, now all of a sudden, apparently we all have to stop doing what we've been doing for centuries, and cater. We have to cater to the minorities. We have to cater to the oppressed groups. So okay, let's all pretend that we're being oppressed. Fucking Christianity, Christians of all the denominations, make up 85% of the people in this country. I'm no good in math, but I'll tell you, that's a goddamn super majority in my book.
That's herd immunity right there. That's herd immunity.
That's fucking herd immunity. We can't even get these motherfuckers to get vaccines to save their own lives. Yet they will do whatever they can do to save their imaginary belief system. Sorry, I said what I said. I said what I said.
It's true. You're talking about a book that was written at least 75 years after Jesus died, at least. They brought together an entire faction, a voting bloc, to vote on what books would go into the Bible and which would not. Second Peter was written almost 100 years after he died. Like, there's so many fallacies in the Bible. Like, it's fucking mind-boggling. But you know what? If you want to believe in it, I don't give a shit. Believe in whatever you want. What is that? Right. Pastafarian or whatever? They started their own religion.
The Pastafarians.
Yeah. Believe in whatever the fuck you want. But stop acting like you're being ridiculed for being Christian in this country. No one gives a shit. No one. There's so many. Go to the Bible Belt, man. Like, oh God, these fucking people. And I actually think this is another ploy to get people to vote for Republicans. This whole like, oh, Christians are being wiped out. No, Christians aren't fucking being wiped out. Generation Z doesn't buy into your bullshit, so they're leaving the church. Right. The millennials and Gen Z have disproportionately left religion because we have an entire computer that was more powerful than the first space shuttle that went to the moon at our fingertips. And some of us, not all, some of us read. And some of us learn, and some of us have educated ourselves. So it's not the Democrats that are turning people away from your fucking sky fairy. It's facts and history and reading. Like, that's all it is. What do we call it?
Just that? Make up sky fairy.
No, I've heard it. Make before. That up. No. I can't take credit for that. Or the zombie god. Your zombie god. Who comes back to life after 3 days? Fucking the first zombie apocalypse. Jesus Christ. Not to mention, you can find half of these stories in Greek mythology and Roman mythology and every hero journey from the beginning of time. Like, oh, I can't.
I know. And you know what? You know, people who claim that they're so well-versed in the Bible, are they aware of how many passages and how many rules there are about slavery? Nope. There's a whole list of things that slaves are supposed to do and think and be toward their masters. There's even, and I thought this was so adorable when I read it, there's even a passage guiding slave masters how to be kind to their slaves. I mean, I just thought that was so cute. But you know what? If that's what your book is telling you, even if it's only one tiny little part of
the whole thing out.
Throw the whole thing out. Throw the whole thing out. The whole thing is just full of fucking shit. It's what I call it is it's the most enduring, best-selling fucking fiction anthology of all time. Throw the whole thing out. Yeah. If that's what it's telling you, you know what? Throw the whole thing out and fucking read something else. Read the back of a Lysol can.
Here's how I stump every Christian that I know, every single one of them, to get them to realize that their book isn't all encompassing. Why aren't dinosaurs in it? why aren't dinosaurs in it? If we're telling the story from creation up until the Revelations to the end of the world, why the fuck aren't dinosaurs? I'll tell you why. Because there's a 65 million year gap between dinosaurs and the first human that walked the earth. And they had no idea, like I said, until after George Washington died, that dinosaurs existed. It wasn't until the 1800s that they first discovered the first dinosaur fossil and were able to figure out, hey, this is a really big lizard. Like, oh, they're all over the world. Dinosaurs don't exist in your book of creation. Your book is bullshit. I don't know what else to tell you. Like, these fucking people, there's unicorns mentioned 8 times in the Bible. Unicorns. Which
really? I'm not even look that up.
I'm not even opposed to the idea of maybe there was a horse with a horn. I'm okay with that. Like, whatever. Yeah. But dinosaurs, so some of them have taken to the fact, well, it's not in the book of creation, so dinosaurs never existed. Where the fuck do you think your gas comes from, bro? Like, where do you, how do you heat your house? How do you put gas in your car? How do you, like, they come from fossil fuels. Listen to the name, fossil fuels. Like, you are a fucking idiot. And until a Christian can legitimate, and when the response is, well, they weren't aware of them at the time. Well, holy shit. This book started with the creation of the world. So where the fuck are the dinosaurs? Answer me that, and then maybe I'll take a second look at your book. But until then, you can have several seats. Like, I don't give a shit. Oh.
And yeah, and when you try to interweave your book of the Sky Fairy into laws that impact my life, well, at that point you can fuck all the way off.
Yeah,
all the way off.
I like to,
like,
tell
I said. Believe in the fucking spaghetti monster. Believe in whatever the hell you want. I, you know what? I will be all behind you, and you're right to do it 100%. But the minute you start taking that shit to your government, and you start telling your government and your legislators that they have to pass fucking laws based on your philosophy, your beliefs, no, nada, finuta.
Just tell them you don't believe in Sharia law, and that shuts them up real quick too.
They do believe in it, or you don't?
No, I don't. I don't believe in laws dictated by religion and how a woman should behave or how families should be made. Or I have free will. Whether you like it or not, I am a citizen of this country, and I have free will, and I have freedom of religion, and I have freedom of speech. So.
And freedom from religion, thank you very much.
Kindly fuck off.
All the way off.
Fuck all the way off. What are you guys obsessed with this week?
Whoa. Can I start on this?
Yes.
I got to tell you. My friend Dana introduced me to a show on Amazon Prime. You guys have probably talked about this show a million times before, and you know, because I just haven't been on it. But Dempsey, I know you know this show because there's so many hot guys on it. Animal Kingdom, Amazon Prime.
No.
Oh, Dempsey.
What?
This is like a spank bank for gay men and straight women, because it is full of hot shirtless men every week or every episode. I'm watching it because Ellen Barkin, it's like a modern day Ma Barker, where she's the mother of all these thugs, these hot, sexy, shirtless thugs. She runs like a crime syndicate in Southern California. And from what I understand, it's based on a true story. It happened somewhere. But it's, you know, I mean, whatever kind of debauchery these guys can get into, they get into it. And Ellen Barkin has just always been cool as fuck.
Oh, good.
And she's just amazing as her nickname is Smurf in the show. And I think by episode 5 of season 1, you figure out why they call her Smurf. But it's just one of those amazing, it's so fucking binge-worthy. It's so binge-worthy. If you have not heard of Animal Kingdom, I highly suggest you're going to be hooked by the first episode. And I'm a tough customer when it comes to the first episode of shows. I said, fuck this to The Crown after the first episode. So that shows you where I'm
same,
at. But
same.
I am all about Animal Kingdom. Give it a try.
Okay.
It's an hour of your life that you will never regret spending.
I couldn't get into The Crown either. Even though I totally got into Mary Queen of Scots, the show, or it was called like Queen Mary or Scots or something.
Not the actual Mary Queen of Scots.
She's a fascinating creature, actually.
Yeah.
Mary Queen of Scots was fascinating, but no, like the, oh no, it was called Rain. I got into Rain.
Oh, never heard
it's
of it.
It's about Mary
that's
Queen of
that's
Scots.
That's like a
though.
Smutty soap opera. That's way different than The Crown.
I couldn't get into The Crown, though.
Mary Queen of Shots.
Ah, womp,
do it.
Ba-dum-bum.
Dempsey, what are you obsessed with?
Let's see. Okay, so I've been like legitimately obsessed with Sarah Paulson this last week. You know when you just watch something and you see, I wish Erin was here because she gets on that same like OCD thing I do when I'm into something. Like on 9/11, I have to watch all the 9/11 videos. And then like I watch like, you know, like I'll watch The West Wing and then I need to watch all the interviews with Bradley Whitford or like just whatever nonsense I get into. So I rewatched Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which is like little known TV show. Nobody watched it. It was only on for a year because it started the same year as 30 Rock. And so real stupid for NBC to put these two shows that are both about like backstage at a Saturday Night Live type show on at the same time. And then you have Studio 60, which is like so many famous people. It's an hour long. It's Aaron Sorkin. It's so much more expensive to make. And it just didn't make it past the first season. But like literally so good. Aaron Sorkin and Tommy Schlamme. It's got Sarah Paulson, Amanda Peet, Bradley Whitford, Matthew Perry. It was like his first thing since Friends. Like, oh my gosh, D.L. Hughley. Highly recommend watching
cast.
It.
Yeah, it's great such cast. A cast.
It's one season and I had to watch it on YouTube, but I'm telling you guys, it is so, and they did a good job of like wrapping it up at the end. So like start to finish, just a fantastic season of television. Like, oh my God, it's so good. Like every ounce of it is just the best show. So I started watching that and I was like, I need more Sarah Paulson because I'm so obsessed with her.
The world needs more Sarah Paulson. Yeah.
Yes. I just want to be her friend and I want to know how that happens. So then I was like, oh, I want to watch more Sarah Paulson stuff. But like, I didn't want to watch anything scary. So I couldn't watch the American like Horror Story stuff because I just, it's all so scary and bloody. And I just wasn't in that kind of space. So I decided to watch, I don't know how I didn't when it first came on, The People versus OJ.
Oh, so good. She made that.
I didn't see that. Should I do it?
Yeah, I don't. It's on Netflix. I don't know why I never watched it. But
I was
like,
in the eighth grade when that happened. And I remember watching it in class.
Yeah, like I remember watching like the Bronco chase and the trial and stuff. But man, is that good. First of all, everyone in the cast, minus Cuba Gooding Jr. Like I think he wasn't the best OJ. But like, holy shit, Sterling K. Brown, Courtney B. Vance, like so good.
Oh my God, Sterling Brown was so good in that show. Yeah, delightful. Yeah.
So good. But Sarah Paulson as Marsha Clark, like, oh my God. And the amount, she 1000%. And like the sexism and misogyny and stuff that she had to deal with, like during that, with everyone talking about her looks, her hair, how she dressed, all of it, like, absolutely crazy. And like there's certain scenes that are just so heartbreaking. Like Sarah Paulson's so good as Marsha Clark.
One of the best criers ever.
She's literally just like one of the best actresses ever. Like she's literally so good. And I didn't realize she was filming that and oh my God, whatever season of American Horror Story where she played hypodermic Sally or whatever, she was filming those two things at the same time. She was playing Marsha Clark and this like crazy lunatic at the same time. Like, it's like mind boggling to me. Anyways, I know, total mind blown. So 10 out of 10 recommend People versus OJ. And then the new season comes out, I think in the next month or two, and they're doing the impeachment. And so she's playing Linda Tripp.
No.
Yeah. And she has like shaved off her eyebrows. Wait until you see Sarah Paulson as Linda Tripp.
God, I love her.
She had to gain a little bit of weight, but then I think they also have her in like a fat suit and stuff. Mm-hmm. Unrecognizable as Linda Tripp. And then Beanie Feldstein, who I totally love. If you guys saw Booksmart or Lady Bird, she's Jonah Hill's younger sister. Mm-hmm. She's playing Monica Lewinsky. And I think Monica Lewinsky is one of the like producers of it. Like,
we don't deserve Monica Lewinsky. Like we don't.
No,
deserve
we
her.
Don't.
She's
we
so funny. If you guys don't follow,
follow
Monica
her
Lewinsky
on Twitter,
I follow.
Yeah,
her
I was
Twitter,
just about
yeah.
to say that. If you don't follow her on Twitter, follow mm-hmm. her. She's so funny. So funny.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Can I just tell you that one of my biggest fears is that someday when somebody plays me in the made-for-TV movie, they're going to have to wear a fat suit.
How did you get to a point? Yeah. How did you get to a point where your life's being made into a movie? Is my first question. And my second question is, that's what you're worried about? Like,
I get it. Okay. But listen to what I said. It's
answer
not even just a fat
answer
suit.
To number one, halfway through a bottle of rosé. Answer number two, mommy issues.
Oh, geez, that got deep.
But she had to gain weight, shave off her eyebrows, and wear a fat suit. So.
You know what? It's so
and then you still have to be Linda Tripp.
It's so crazy though, because if a dude had to do that, he'd be automatically like nominated for whatever, because he had to, oh, he had to alter his looks and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, now that's all women will talk. That's all any of the media outlets will talk about, was how she altered her looks, whereas the dude would be about his performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Matthew McConaughey. How many times did he do that?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not knocking Matthew McConaughey's performance in Dallas Buyers Club. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But like, you know how easy it is for dudes to lose. Like, anyway, I'm obsessed with VIP and Poison Pen are available to everyone now. They came out officially out. And I'm excited.
My book, Jackie D's book. Whoop,
whoop. Yeah. Poison Pen. Do you want to talk about it for a second? What it's about?
Me?
Yeah. Well, who else would I be talking to?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. All right. So Poison Pen is a contemporary romance, and it's kind of like one of those, I'd like to flatter myself into thinking that it harkens back to like the 1950s Doris Day romantic comedy, where there's lots of like, there's mistaken identity. There's these cute little secrets that come out, and then there's confusion. And it's about an author, a first-time author, late-in-life author, who she comes out with her first novel, and it gets trashed in a terrible review. And, you know, she's just devastated by this. But at the same time, she also meets this young woman who just kind of captivates her, and they're building this, you know, this quick but cautious relationship. And there's angst, there's some comedy, there's a lot of sexy scenes, because when my readers talk, I listen, and I don't do the fade to black anymore. So you're going to get some sexy scenes there. And I think it's just, at the end of the day, a feel-good romance.
Okay. So Poison Pen is available everywhere right now. In VIP, I've already talked about it on here extensively. So they're available. Don't forget to review after you've read. And next week, well, we have to talk about that when we get off, because I won't be in town. But I think that's it for us this week, guys. Everyone, alcohol good? I'm assuming it was.
Oh, yeah. Real tasty.
We're going to make Jean join some wine clubs in California when she comes and visits in a few weeks. Jean's coming to visit, you guys.
Woo! I'm coming out on West Coast. I'm going.
She's making the trek for my... My wife's turning 40 and she's making the trek out here for it. So it's, we're like 2.5 weeks out from Jean being on site. We always say we're going to record when we're in one place. We never do. So I won't promise you that.
We'll try.
That's
not the thing we do. We'll give it a try.
That's it for us this week. Have a good weekend. Don't add to the population. Don't subtract from the population. Don't end up in jail. But if you end up in jail, establish dominance quickly.
Yeah, buddy. And don't be a dick. And if you're a billionaire, really don't be a dick.
I'm Jackie D, the literary lesbian. That's Stacy, the political princess. She's on the phone with work, it looks like.
And I'm G, the thirsty feminist.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Lori.
Fierce Femme Media.